This is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, head to nature.com/nature/podcast.
When your country is at the centre of an outbreak of disease and you work in science, it's only natural to think, can I help? At least that's the question Patricia Beltran Braga asked herself when the Zika virus arrived in Brazil in early 2015. Patricia is at the University of São Paulo.
We stopped all of our research just to work with Zika virus. All of my students are just working with Zika virus at this time.
Patricia usually works with brain cells in dishes, studying the characteristics of autism and muscular dystrophy. Her colleague Jean-Pierre Perron is an immunologist.
The same for me. All the projects that were not involved in Zika virus, they are on standby right now. And we just focused on Zika virus and the correlation with the microcephaly.
Microcephaly is a birth defect where babies are born with unusually small heads and brains. Since the beginning of 2015, clinicians in Brazil have reported more babies than normal born with this typically rare condition. Now, usually the Zika virus doesn't cause anything more than a week of pretty mild symptoms. But because of the timing of this outbreak, Zika has now been strongly linked to microcephaly. However,
the relationship between Zika virus and microcephaly wasn't proven yet.
There were a lot of papers before showing that, yes, the virus is in the CNS of the microcephaly babies, but still in human infection, you cannot control. There's so many other aspects that may be involved. So, and at least in experimental model, we can show, look, there is this pregnant female mice, and when we infect it, the pups will have CNS lesions that is completely consistent with the Zika virus pathology.
So infecting the mums gave the pups the same symptoms as human babies whose mothers contracted Zika when they were pregnant. Damage to the central nervous system and a smaller brain and head. Unlike some previous work, this team used the Brazilian strain of Zika to replicate the conditions in Brazil as closely as possible. It's pretty good evidence that Zika can cause microcephaly. But the animal model alone couldn't tell them why this strain of virus had this disastrous effect. So for that section of the new paper, they turned to an expat colleague for help. Neuroscientist Alison Muotri at the University of California, San Diego.
I was just following the news, and it's my home country, so I was very empathetic to the people over there and the problems.
Alison wondered how his lab could add to the work Patricia and Jean-Pierre were doing and help understand how the Zika virus was affecting brain cells.
And what my lab does is we create mini brains or cerebral organoids from human pluripotent stem cells. And I thought that would be a model to study the Zika virus.
As the mini brains grow in the lab, they look a lot like developing brains. So they're a good way to test the effect of the virus on a developing fetus. Muotri realized that the virus was having an effect on how well brain cells could grow, and hence on the volume of the brain.
We see that the virus can actually penetrate into those mini brains, infect the cells, the dividing cells in these ventricular zones, and as a consequence, cortical neurons are affected, which is parallel to what we see in the brains of the infected animals as well. So there is a reduction in the cortical thickness.
The work showed that the mini brains were smaller because the virus is targeting neurons that would usually be dividing and instead triggering them to kill themselves. And that's probably just the start, the scientists think. Here's Alison again.
All the media really focus on microcephaly in humans because the images are quite dramatic. But our data suggested that probably other tissues are affected. So this is basically the tip of the iceberg. There is more problems caused by the Zika virus that we will uncover in the following years.
The team have a lot of questions they would now like answers to.
Thinking forward, I think we need to invest in a vaccine against the Zika virus, but also how to treat the ones that are already infected. And especially because we know that a microcephaly is just one of the consequences. Even adults that are infected that seems to have no problems. Now, we don't know in the future if the virus will do something to these people. So these are all open questions.
Jean-Pierre also has plenty of ideas for what to do next.
There's a lot of things to do in a long term. For example, resistance to the virus. Yeah. So no one knows if you get infected to the virus, what kind of memory, immune memory response you have.
Brazil is about to hit the headlines for happier reasons. The Olympic Games are taking place in Rio de Janeiro in August. That's actually winter in Brazil, and the mosquitoes that carry Zika might be dwindling as a result. But the new report is another good reason to be extra vigilant. Here's Jean-Pierre Perron.
I think it's unquestionable right now that the Zika may directly cause microcephaly. So people should not have any kind of doubt about taking care to avoid the contact with the virus, of course.
That was Jean-Pierre Perron. He and Patricia Beltran Braga are at the University of São Paulo in Brazil. Alison Muotri is at the University of California, San Diego. Their paper is available free online at nature.com/nature. And at nature.com/news, you can also find all our previous coverage of the outbreak.